It's just about that time to say Happy New Year. It's a secular New Year. I understand that. No one needs to point that out to me. But you know what? New Year's, whether they be secular or on the Hebrew calendar, should be a time to think about being new or renewed. The New Year, like I said, maybe on a secular calendar, but that doesn't mean that we can't use it for our own benefit as well. I personally want to take every opportunity to apply new things for towards Adonai, and to remember and to be reminded of new things through Adonai. So it may be on the secular calendar, but it's still another chance for us to remember and apply things. You know, we could even look at each one of the Shabbats the same way. But since the secular New Year comes so infrequently, just once a year for those who aren't sure, it seems to be a special time, a time to place some emphasis into our efforts of newness to Adonai and to be renewed for, by, and to Him. Being new to Adonai does not mean experiencing a profound spiritual transformation, as some would put it. But it should mean for us experiencing a desire to allow His change in us so that we can be more of that new creation in Messiah that He wants us to be. It's leaving the old self with its past sins and failures and guilts behind for a renewed and fresh start. For most of us, that means a renewed purpose, not really a new purpose. If we count ourselves as atoned by the Messiah, then our identity and hope and empowerment by the Ruach to live the life of obedience and growing more like Yeshua continues. So it's not really new, it's renewed. But for those who may be listening that have not made that decision to allow Yeshua to atone for your sins yet, then it could be a chance to become new in Messiah. For both the saved and the newly saved, it is a journey of sanctification, or walking out His instructions for us, which involves daily choices to follow Adonai. Adonai, leaving behind the old habits and sins like jealousy and hatred towards others, and embracing as our own ways those ways of Adonai. As unbelievers, we each had our own way, which was influenced by the world, and the one that influences the world, and that would be Satan. We had those old ways that we left behind. But listen to what Rav Shaul tells us about our old self once we accept Messiah Yeshua as the atonement for our sins. In Ephesians 4:22, starting there, with respect to your former lifestyle, you are to lay aside the old self corrupted by deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Shaul then goes on to list out many sins so that the reader doesn't think that he's talking about just one particular sin. In fact, the implication is that for all sins, regardless if it's listed there or not, should be left behind. Based on his words here, being renewed is more than just accepting who the Ruach is in our lives. It's also accepting the promptings of the Ruach to act in His ways. He will give you the path to walk leading to him that'll get you away from your old sins, but you are still the one that needs to walk the path. There is no one that can do it for you. And Adonai loves you so much that he will not force you to change, but he will give you the tools to make the change. He wants you to do it to show your love back to him. However, your flesh will not just automatically do it as it should, but it will sometimes still want to do what it did in the past. It's still up to us to listen to the Ruach, to listen to that, to the Holy Spirit, and to have the self-control to avoid doing that which we've did in the past. That's what being new in Messiah is. Now, Shaul gives us another glimpse of his thinking about this in Colossians 3:1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the things above, where Messiah is, sitting at the right hand of God. Focus your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. When he says to keep seeking, he means that you are still the one that has to walk the walk. Messiah, through the Ruach, shows you the path, but it's up to you to do the walking. It is that action of just walking the way that he instructs that constitutes the continuation of the running of the good race that we're called to do. That is what running the race to the end means, not giving up on the walk he has for you. Then you'll be revealed to Adonai with his glory and righteousness upon and within you, so that you will have the prize of eternity before him. Not completing the race in the right way does not mean that you won't have an eternity, though. But it does mean that it'll be a different eternity than what he desires for you. It'll be an eternity separated from him with pain and anguish, suffering and despair for that eternity. There are those who would say, what kind of loving king or what kind of loving God allows for such eternal suffering? He is a king so great in love that he gave you free will to choose which way to walk. He does not give the eternal pain that happens during this separation from him, but by his love and mercy has a way for you to avoid the pain and suffering. Look what we're told in Ephesians 2. About his love and the decisions that we can make. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. At that time, you walked in the way of the world, in conformity to the ruler of the domain of the air, the ruler of the spirit who now is operating in the sons of disobedience. We too all live among them, in their cravings of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind. By nature, we were children of wrath, just as the others. But God was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive with Messiah. By grace, you have been saved. When you were outside of his instructions, you were dead in your sins just like the others. Who were the others? They were those still walking in the sins of the world. Those that did not make the decision to accept Messiah as Yeshua, or to make the, in the old days, it would have been those who wouldn't sacrifice to Adonai, to follow Torah. This is not a place that he placed you, nor is it the place that he wants to leave you. Then it says that there is a newness to us when we come to be in Messiah with him. It says that there's a newness to us, but it is not a brand new. You're not totally changed. What it is a change of the sin nature that you had. He wants to change you from the sinning self to be a Messiah following self. His love is that he told you that there is a right and a wrong way to live in your life. And even more, it is his love and mercy that allows you second and third and fourth and so on, many chances. And even more, to turn back from the wrong way of walking. 2 Corinthians 5:16, starting there, it says this: "So from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Messiah according to the flesh, yet now we no longer know him this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to him through Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Messiah, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has entrusted the message of reconciliation to us. Now, there are two things here to see in these verses. The first is that the new creation does not leave your personality behind, but takes what he created in you, removes what he did not, and then partners with you to bring you closer to him. Even after we accepted him, we're still made new when we turn from our sins in our current life and walk again with him. Again, that doesn't mean that we leave behind who we are, but we do take off that which we were not given by him, so that we can more fully walk with him as he desires us to. The humorous person that you are, the loving person that you are, you will still be. It's the other things like hate and fear that he's removing, since they were never really from him. The phrase "new creation" here literally translates to recently made thing, a recently made thing or creature. It can also be translated as meaning fresh formation. For something, when something is removed that does not belong or doesn't work anymore, and a new part is added in to improve it, that does not mean that there's something brand new, but it is improved. So take, for example, a propeller airplane. If we were to remove the propellers and remove those motors and we put in a jet engine, what do we have? It's better. It's a jet, but it's still a plane. It's still an airplane. Adonai does not want to wipe you out, but to bring you to a new state that will bring you closer to him. Now, there are many who will ask, well, why, when we first accepted Messiah, didn't he just changes us to that completed person that he wants us to be. It's a process for each of us. Each day we need to go to him and ask to be changed a little bit more and a little bit more than we've already been. It's just not his plan to change us like that. And life sometimes is not just moving forward as we would like it to be. There are times that we take steps backwards. This could be because of decisions that we make, or it could even be the plan of Adonai, so that we can be remade from our past or our current bad decisions that we've made. We walk out our sanctification each day by listening to him, then taking the steps that we believe that we heard from him. If you're walking as he told you to walk, then you cannot be wrong. But if you try to impose your instructions onto someone else, then you're not allowing them to walk as they were told, if they truly are listening to Adonai. We are all given a set of instructions. That's the basis for everything. That, of course, is the scriptures. We read them, we meditate on them, and yes, we even listen to what others think that they say. But in the end, we have to hear from Adonai ourselves to move forward on his path for us. Each Shabbat, I say words that Adonai gives me. Then they're received by your ears and translated by your spirit, your Ruach. Then it's up to you to ask the Ruach if this is the message for you. Each will hear the message a little bit differently and get something a little bit different out of it if we allow the Ruach to speak to us individually. When here, you listen to the words that I say, but I pray you hear the words of the Ruach that he's speaking to you. Now each year, and even better each day, we turn to Adonai for the forgiveness of our sins and the renewal of our life and ways. How do we know that he won't lead with a punch for the sin as opposed to a hug from his love? We read this in Exodus 34 when Moses went back up the mountain a second time to get those 10 words from him. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Then Adonai passed before him and proclaimed, "Adonai, Adonai, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, showing mercy to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, but bringing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation." He speaks first about his attributes of compassion and graciousness, his slowness to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. This is what he wants you to think of him, because this is who he is. And that's not just a trick, that's the truth of who he is. No tricks, no distortions. He is love and compassion. This is why we're able to continue our walk in our journey of sanctification after we've sinned. He does not punch the sinner. He helps up the sinner when they turn back and confess the sin so that they can make that new change, that new decision even, to walk closer to him. When Yeshua healed the invalid man, he left due to the crowds, but then he found him later, which we see in John 5. John 5, starting in 14. Afterwards, Yeshua finds him in the temple. He says to him, "Look, you have been healed. Stop sinning so nothing worse happens to you." The man left and told the Judean leaders that it was Yeshua who had made him well. It was Yeshua who does the healing and the cleansing. Excuse me as I pop a drop. But look what Yeshua said to that man. He didn't say, "You're healed. Now go away." No, it was, "You are now healed. So stop sitting so nothing worse will happen to you." He warns him not to return to how he was before. My allergies. Don't go back. Don't go back to where you were. Or it will be worse, he says. Now, for that man who was healed, he was an invalid for 38 years. Yeshua says, don't go back to your old life. It'll be worse. What could be worse than being an invalid for 38 years? The worst is not what will happen in this lifetime, but what will happen in the eternity to come. For some, when they were first saved, they felt that brand new, like the jet engine was strapped onto them. But for others, it could be that they just were washed, and they think they're the same old airplane, not the jet yet. Each of us have a different salvation story, and each of us walk a different path to the same destination when walking within Scripture. For those who never felt the newness of Adonai, I challenge you, look back from where you were a couple of years ago. I bet you're not the same person. For me, the change came very slowly, deliberate steps by Adonai. And I remember one time meeting up with an old friend that I went to college with. We hung out a lot together. And we did the things that college boys do. We drank. We stayed out all night. Didn't smoke. We cursed. You know, we were college kids. I met him 2 years later. And after just 20 minutes of being with him, he says, "Larry, I don't know how to act around you. You're not the same." I wasn't trying to act differently, but I was a different person, and he knew that. Saved for only about 2 years, and already different than what I was. Without feeling that lightning quick change, I didn't think I was different. He could see, he could tell that I was different already. Sometimes that change is done, but we don't recognize it. We don't look for it. That's why. It would be like climbing into the jet and still looking for the same controls that the propeller airplane had. That plane can now go 500 miles an hour. But if the pilot doesn't recognize the change, he's still only doing the 200 miles an hour. Now, 200 miles an hour sounds pretty fast. But he could do so much more if he were to open his eyes and see the change. We could do so much more If we open our eyes and see the new you, see the change that he has for you. God loves us as we are when he finds us in our sin. Doesn't mean that he's going to leave us in that stateful sin. This is true when we're first saved, and it's true each and every day that we live with him. The sins may not be the same. At least I hope they're not the same. But his love for us, his desires for us, are the same. Hear what Shaul had to say about those that he prayed for in Philippi. Philippians 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God every memory of you, always praying with joy in every prayer of mine for all of you, because of your sharing in the good news from the first day until now. I am sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. Why did Shaul feel the need to continue to pray for those already saved? Because saved does not mean made perfect. And it does not mean that we will no longer slip into sin. There are backward steps that are taken at times. Not that we want to take them, but they are part of being made of flesh. How can we be new in this year is the question. Focus on him even more. On his word and listening to his small, quiet voice. That may be something new for some of you. But with practice and time, it will become natural. So if you don't have a quiet prayer time or reading time, focus on his words so that you'll be better at distinguishing what his words are that he's saying to you, as opposed to what the world is trying to say to you. Pray a bit more than last year. Especially if you've been lacking in that. If you don't have a prayer habit, start one. Start with even just 5 minutes a day. Read a chapter and pray about what's in it and what Adonai is trying to say to you out of it. Spend time intentionally with him and his words. It's good to challenge yourself every once in a while. This year, decide to read through all of Scripture within the year. You know, the words really are not meant to be read separately or incompletely. They are to be read and understood in a totality of them all together. The reading of one part of a book may seem to have a meaning, but if they're not connected with the rest of Scripture, the true complete meaning may be a little bit hidden from you. Scripture, when looked at individually, can be like looking at a historical timeline. When studied alone, American history tells a story. But when combined with world history, it can tell an even fuller story, an even fuller history. And it could contradict what you believe. For example, the signing of the Declaration of Independence in itself is important. But did you realize that it sparked the actions in France that caused the French Revolution? Many think of history as one event at a time, one over here, one over there, and one over here. They really intertwine. And in order to understand it all, we have to intertwine them back instead of separating them. Scripture is exactly the same way, not even more so. We have to keep them together. Many will think of Scripture individually without seeing what happened just before it, or what prophecy was spoken about that was about to take place. The problem with this kind of thinking is that it separates his words into chunks, such as the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Old and the New Covenant. Now, of course, there's no part of the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah that overlaps in time, but they overlap in prophecies and cause and effect all over the place. Reading his word over and over will allow you to line them up better. Adonai wants to bring you into alignment, but that does not mean he wants to change the you who you are. He wants to change the what you do and how you think of them, but the who you are, the personality that you have will not be the thing that he looks to change in you. Yes, you may see some things that change within you, but that does not mean that he is wanting to change the you that's you. He's giving you the tools to change, while he's giving you so that you'll have greater access to him and to his path for you. He has called you not to recreate you into what will become a robot that has no choice but to follow his directions. Follow his directions. No. He wants you to become a person who will make the choice to follow him, the choice to live through his instructions for us. He instructs because he wants you to have that blessed life. He instructs because he wants you to pay him back his love that he has for you as well. His love is not just the provisions for now, but the promises that he made for eternity that we have a hope in. Not a hope of being sure of something, but the hope that causes you to look forward with the knowledge that it's going to happen for you. We do this by faith. We know what we do not see yet. And that will help to cause patience within us. So we go through so much in life. But as long as we know what our future is, our eternal future, it makes it easier to live through this life. Patience is hard. When we break a bone, we know it's going to heal. But the patience while waiting for the cast to come off is sometimes hard to come by, especially when we're young. We want to have it removed, and that itching that you have to put the coat hanger down it to scratch. You know, that can be tough to go through. But the knowledge that it's going to come off eventually makes it a little easier to get through it. Let me assure you, being a new year does not mean that you have to do really hard things right away. Start with some low-hanging fruit. This will allow you to look towards that next step, and that'll become a little closer and a little bit easier. Start with if you're not reading yet, start with the 5 minutes a day. If you're not praying yet, start with the 5 minutes a day. Read a chapter, read a couple of Psalms. Each time you do something is a step closer to where you really want to be, where he wants you to be. Each time you become a newer you. So yes, it's a secular new year that we're coming up to. But that doesn't mean that you can't use it for his will in your life. Change who you are. We want to do it every day. We want to do it every Shabbat. But you know, let's take this new year coming, this secular new year coming, and let's make a decision. This is one of those times of the year I'm going to change. It's good to do it more than once a year. This is the time I'm going to start reading Scripture all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. And hey, you don't have to read from Genesis to Revelation. You can get one of those schedules that lay it out chronologically. You can just read one book from the Tanakh and then skip over to one book in the Brit Hadashah, read a couple of Psalms, find another Tanakh book. I don't care how you do it. But you know, all Scripture is profitable. That means we have to read all Scripture. So you know, challenge yourself. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read more. I am going to line myself up with Adonai more so that I can be a new me, a new you. Amen? Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercies. Mercies that never end. The grace that allows us to move closer to you. That allows us to be cleansed by your blood. We just thank you and praise you for that which allows us to become new over and over again. And everyone said, amen and amen. We're going to invite Michael up. He's going to lead us in the thanking him for the wine and the bread.
I was going to break the mic first.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's all stand and thank him for the wine.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Amen. Now, I know I've only got allergies, unlike some people who have that cold and things that's going around, but I promise not to touch the bread just in case.
Okay. Well. See if I can get some off. Let's thank him for the bread.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Amen. Amen. He brings forth bread from the earth, and he brings forth new yews. New yews, unlike the bread, which is forced into what it's going to become, right? The baker combines things, and then he uses his hands and mixes it all up. Adonai shows us what we can be, but he doesn't take his hands and just forces you into it, right? We know the potter and the wheel and the imagery of Adonai being the potter, that's the clay. But he really doesn't just force us. He looks for you to make the choice to become new. And he knows that even though he just gives us a choice, that there will be a remnant who makes the right choice, who makes the choice to follow after him. And Adonai told Moses to tell Aaron, this is how to bless those people. So reach out your hand to him and accept his beliefs, his blessing as one of those who made the choice. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Yevrecha Adonai v'rishmarecha. Yireh Adonai banavlecha v'chunecha. Yasar Adonai banavlecha. V'yasem lecha shalom. Bim Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar Shalom.